How you doing, everybody? God bless you, Christians. The time is short. At the very least, every day that goes by is a day that we're closer to eternity. Time is running out. Individually, as a world, etc. We're told to redeem the time. The time, to a degree, is always going to be an enemy. It's always going to try to steal itself from us. It never stops. It kills absolutely everything. Eventually, everything will rot and decay because of time. It's something we're under. So what are we going to do with this time? If we don't redeem it for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is certainly our enemy. And one of the things it could do is harden your heart. Time could do that. It could harden your heart if you're not renewing your mind daily with God's word and reminding yourself who you are in Jesus. We were created for one reason. We're told in the gospel, we were created for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God. Just like if you have a boss at work, the boss is the boss. But what does he do? He gives you his word. He tells you what to do. And you listen to his words. What comes out of his mouth and who he is the same thing. It's the same thing with Jesus. He said him and the Father were one. Jesus Christ was the Word of God. And we were here for his glory. That's it. It's so foreign. Everybody's here trying to do things. And yes, we have to do things. We're told to redeem the time for the kingdom. We keep things in order. We stand for righteousness. We have to live out this life for his kingdom. This is a foreshadowing down here of what's going to happen when we get there. He's going to have jobs. Yeah, he's going to have things to do. He's going to have assignments. I guarantee it. This is a foreshadowing of what's to come. Now, Jesus Christ told us, and he warned us in Mark 4, about the deceitfulness of riches come to choke the word. I want to mention a couple Old Testament commandments. Commandment number 2 was do not worship an idol. Commandment number 6 was do not murder. Commandment number 7 was do not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, do not steal. Commandment number 10, do not covet. These are direct pinpointed activities that the Father did not want to have happen. When Jesus Christ came, he said, you can hang all these on 2 commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. But these commandments became spiritual. Yes, when you covet something, what did Jesus Christ say? Covet means, I want it, I want it, I want it. He said, beware of the deceitfulness of riches, because they come to choke God's word. The deceitfulness of riches. In the Old Testament, just don't do it. Don't make a god out of it. Don't covet. But Jesus gives us a little insight. First of all, these riches are deceiving. And what do? They choke God's word. Yes, they try to become an idol in your life. How do they do it? Through sensuality, through comforts, through your reputation, all worldly things that end up in the grave come from these riches if we make them an idol. Now we're told in the second commandment, don't worship any idols. Don't put anything ahead of God. How do you do that? You have to realize, number one, who's your creator? If the world could eliminate, if Satan could eliminate God, if Satan could make a God out of just your fleshly existence here, he's won. No, Jesus Christ is not the Easter Bunny. This isn't about Santa Claus. This is about even in the Word of God, the wise men, the wisest probably in the kingdom. I mean, Herod's wise men knew by the stars that Jesus Christ was coming. Yes, to the point of he killed every child Every male child under the age of 2 trying to get rid of Jesus Christ. That was Satan. He wanted to get rid of Jesus Christ, the King. You're going to try to tell me Jesus isn't real? I mean, I don't have to know it anyway. I know he's real because he came into my heart. He changed my life. He's just not something on white and black print that I study and take a test for and get an A or a B. No, I didn't have to take any test. He came inside my life and he changed it. He flipped it all around. He made me do a 180. So I know he's real. But his word that he left behind us tells us, even his existence, the wise men, and it claims it was probably a two to three year adventure to get where they got, you know, by camel, etc., camel train, to find who this Savior was. And they didn't tell Herod. And Herod was so infuriated, he killed all the children. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine killing every child to extinguish the one that's coming? Yeah. And Moses was a foreshadowing. They wanted every child killed during Moses' time, and he had to be put in a basket and sent off. So constantly Satan wants to just kill Jesus, just like he wants to kill the word in you. Because now this is all going on in you. The word of God gets born in you. It's a seed. And we're told about when it first comes in, it's the smallest seed. It's the smallest seed. But as it grows and it gets watered and it gets nurtured, it becomes one of the hugest, the parable of mustard seed, where even the ravens and the birds that used to eat the seeds, now they could lay in the tree, but they can't destroy it. That's the word of God. He calls it a seed that comes and lives in us. And just like Herod, just like Pharaoh wanted to kill the Redeemer, well, Satan wants to kill the word of God in you. And one of the ways he'll do it is through the deceitfulness of riches. The Old Testament commandment, don't covet, don't steal, don't make idols out of things. They kind of blend together. He's warning us. Don't make a god. These things are going to come after you. And they're going to hurt God by trying to taking him off where he belongs, or they're trying to go against your neighbor. Yes. And a lot of times it's a perversion. It's a perversion of love. We're told to love our neighbor. That doesn't mean you have to tolerate evil deeds. That doesn't mean you compromise evil deeds. Would you do that with a child? Loving your child? Would you put up with it? Would you put up with blatant disrespect? No, you would correct it. And what's that child going to do? They're going to cry. They're going to hate it. The crocodile tears are going to come flying. Exact same scenario with the word of God. Many times you might give the word of God and give it to yourself first. But many times you'll give truth. People will hate it. They'll hate you. They'll cry, they whimper, and then you'll be accused of not being loving. Now don't get me wrong. Part of the loving process, even with God's correction, is mercy, is grace. Of course, without mercy and grace, we're all done. But the fact is, don't sway from the truth, Christian. Hold fast during these times. You're going to suffer, as I said in my last message. If you're going to cease from sin, you will suffer in the flesh. It's not going to be easy. And many times it's going to be those in your own family. Because the word of God comes to divide, and he tells us it's going to divide all the family members. And then he actually even tells us, even when his own brothers and sisters showed up with his mother, and they were waiting for Jesus, and he said, no, behold. And he looked around the crowds that he was preaching to. He says, you are my mother, my sisters and brothers. Those who do the will of God. Those who hear the will of God and do it. Gang, the Ten Commandments aren't written in stone anymore. They're written on your heart as a Christian. They're written on your heart. They're still written in stone to somebody that isn't under the wing of Jesus. Yeah. And they're going to live by it or die by it. But as a Christian now, it's changed. I don't have to memorize anything because it's all in here. That's where it belongs, in my heart, in my soul, in everything that I am. The small I am, he's the great I am. But everything about me is only because I am the temple and Jesus Christ lives in me and I was bought back. I was redeemed. I was bought with a price. And that was the Lamb. Jesus became every bit man. He became flesh, which means he became every bit man to suffer and die for me. The Lamb of God. The sacrifice for my sins. Hold fast, gang. Don't get bored with the Word of God. It's getting narrower and narrower as science builds up. All science does is try to make man a God. It's a joke. But eventually they'll try to destroy mankind like they did during the days of Noah. Everything was corrupted. The species, everything. Seeds. And we're seeing all now, as I said a few other lessons ago. Bioengineering, GMOs, cloning, trying to mix human seed with animal. Yes, it's true. Get your head out of the sand. We're in a different era now. This isn't to, you know, comb your hair over and march into the cute little Baptist church. Nothing against Baptist church. What I'm saying is this is far beyond church stuff. We're on new turf. The end of the age is new turf. The days of Noah is new turf. And we've hit it. Knowledge is incredibly increased. Gang, it's not a rotary phone anymore, fellas and ladies. It's not a horse and buggy. No, it's changed. Knowledge has increased. I was in the freight company. I remember back in the early 80s, the computers that ran the freight companies were the size of gymnasiums to keep track of everything. The computers were in a gymnasium. And a water system had to filter through everything because the heat was incredible. You could put all that knowledge on the right at the top of this pin. What used to be in a whole gymnasium. And now they're telling us they could inject it in you and I. No, this is not business as usual, gang. Evil becomes more and more evil, evil, evil. It progresses. Corruption is something that progresses. Corruption doesn't all happen at once. Ever see a dead animal on the side of the road? It looks like it's sleeping. But after time progresses and after the corruption process takes place, it's gone. But it takes time. Corruption takes time. And right now, we're in a different phase of corruption. So you better hold fast. I better hold fast to the simplicity of the Word of God. That yes, the deceitfulness of these riches are going to come in and try to choke the word. Covetousness, idol worship, committing adultery, stealing your neighbor's wife. This is all New Testament going against God the Father and your neighbor. Hold fast because you're going to be ridiculed. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. People that don't know the Lord are blinded. And you're going to have to know how to spread his word. You're going to have to follow the Holy Ghost in the situations you're in. Many times it's keeping your mouth shut because you have to, you know, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You're going to have to know these things. Know God's word. Because little by little, God's word is going to try to fade away. Like it says in the book of Amos, there's going to be a famine in the land. And it's not a famine of food. It's a famine of his word. It's a famine of the way, the truth, and the life. That's the famine. So renew, people. Renew with the Word of God. Get ready to be ridiculed. Feel like you might be on an island. Remember what Jesus did for us in that garden. All alone. Everybody ran. Everybody left. Judas turned him in. Peter denied him. He's all alone. How about all the people he healed? How about the people he brought back from the dead? All alone. And his life was an example for you and I, because he was every bit man in that garden. He was sweating blood. He couldn't use his God, G-O-D, godness, to get out of that jam. He had to be a fleshly lamb. That's why he came. And he did it for us. He took on the sins of the whole world, our sins. So Christian, hold fast. We have a God who loves us. We see it by what he did through his word, by sacrificing Jesus on that cross for us. He loves us. We see the love of Jesus, how he went and he healed everybody. We see the love of Jesus, how he laid down his life for us. So keep your spiritual head up, your spiritual chest out. You might be in a fight. You might be in a jam. You might be in an incredible temptation. Fall on your knees. Surrender to the Lord. Give it all to him. Because you can't fight this battle on your own, gang. It's going to take the Holy Spirit within you to guide you and protect you. It's going to take the Comforter. And that's why Jesus died, to give you the Comforter. Amen, and God bless.